Hey friends, it's Crystal with a K with another Steepy Watch. Okay, so let's talk about Prize Pantry in Eustabin, which lets you unleash your inner Saturday morning maniac as you rifle through boxes of cereal until you find the incredible prize inside. But please do not eat the cereal. We know it's early to say that, but we really can't emphasize how important it is that you do not eat the cereal. The faux flakes may look like the real thing, but they are chemically indigestible to a degree that really is irresponsible. So don't eat the flakes. It's a really big day with the 150 years of dreaming festivities finally adding a little dream dust to Prize Pantry, one of our favorite spots that doesn't get the love it deserves. Beginning next week, customers of Prize Pantry may find more than a t-shirt or slap bracelet in their inedible breakfast because Dentonic Creationeers have created a one-of-a-kind enamel pin with the famous Dentonic logo and a gold embossed 150. It's so cute, and get this gang, they only made one. Some people are estimating this could be worth as much as 10 sweets. All right, that's all for this week's Watch Steepies. And remember, like Dentonic always says, never know when to stop dreaming.
Sorry, I'm trying to make my mouth start talking.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Nothing is coming out.
Do you want us to start?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to either welcome to or welcome back, depending on where you're at, to the Adventure Zone Steeplechase. We're so happy to have you back. Thanks for deciding to take a spin on this.
Can I do what you usually do to me and be like,
please,
the yarn spinner takes the loom in his hands and weaves a magical tale. Take the wizard by his hands as he flies you around on his rug made of wings and an angel's hair.
Now, like Griffin, that was beautiful and I loved it, but I do just want to jump back real quick to Justin thanking people to listening to our show by using the phrase, taking a spin on this. Which also sounds like a weird way to ask somebody if they want to engage in coitus with you. Hey, baby, want to take a spin on this?
How much of this do you guys feel like is going to be dragging me, and how much of it is going to be like action-adventure, would you say?
I think for the 50-50? First episode, 50-50, yeah.
I've been so nervous. I've been trying to will myself to start, but I think I should just start.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing I'm going to be able to do is just start.
I believe in you, son.
Who is that?
That's our dad.
Oh, has he been on the show before?
Why are you being a goofball right now? I don't want any kind of goofing around, please.
Oh, this is one of the serious ones?
This is a serious one.
You got to say that up front.
Here we go. All right. Here I go. Okay, so you remember last time a woman had just fallen from the sky.
Okay, Beef leans over to Emmerich or says to Emmerich, do you think that this is more of like a Linden scenario or like a Beef?
All right. One sec. And you see the woman reach behind her and she, with a single slash of one of those blades, cuts her wire down. And the wire just goes catapulting. It was under a lot of tension. The wire just goes catapulting back up into the sky. And she sort of like gracefully lets herself go and lands on the ground. Right. Who do we have? Who are you? Names, please.
I am Emmerich Dreadway.
Right.
Yeah.
You?
Yes, Emmerich.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my name's Beef Punchley, you know, the mountain
of
meat.
Oh, my God, Beef Punchley.
Yeah, the slamming slab.
Oh, my God.
I was such a big fan of you in your prime.
Okay.
You?
I was inside. I couldn't be bothered to. I was in the middle of a sales pitch. But for the
so you're not there.
But for the interest of introductions, I will poke my head outside and see what my two cohorts are doing, and then walk over.
All right. Who are you? Late arrival.
And who are you?
No, wait. Who are you? I have all these knives. Who are you?
Montrose, she fell from the sky, and she was on a big cord, and then she cut the cord flew away, but I don't think she's from around here, just to fill you in.
Oh, Beef Punchless called a bit of smarts in addition to his muscle. What's your handle?
Oh, my name is Montrose Pretty, and it is a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Right, Montrose Beef Emmerich. This is awkward, but I don't have a lot of time. So I'm just going to lay it out to you quick, right? What kind of guys are you? What sort of men?
Well, I'm a big guy, aren't I?
Yeah?
Yeah, right. Big guy.
I should have been more specific, right? Like
I'm sort of middleweight, I guess you could say. Not too big, not too small.
The peepers work fine. I can see you all right. Are you the sort of men who would like to make a little extra coin, maybe even a sweet, real cheap and squeaky like?
Listen, I'm flattered, but I'm not really interested in entanglements at the moment.
What about you? Any of you? I just need warm bodies at this point, and you're the closest ones.
I would be interested. We are currently in need of funding.
Right.
I think is a nice way of putting it.
Okay.
We are seeking angel investors for a exciting opportunity.
Well, boys, how would you like to be your own angels, eh? What about you, Beef?
I'm not looking for a date, if that's what you're looking for.
Oh, good. Me neither. I need you to help me with a little bit of nasty business. And if it all goes smooth, right? You're going to be walking away with a little bit of coin. How's that sound?
It still kind of seems like you're looking for a hookup.
Perhaps this is not the sort of conversation that should take place outside when you have just smashed through the sky.
Right, but I don't have another time to have it. My name's Gravel. I'm about to rob the Pirate's Pantry, and you three are going to help me.
Oh, it's a robbery. Okay, yeah, brother, let's do it.
Really? You're Beef. You flip real quick.
I thought you were looking to engage in sexual congress with one of us. But
don't flatter yourself. Emmerich, what do you think?
That would be conducive. That would be very, very conducive to our goals.
Montrose, so, I need one more.
I think we have expressed
I'm in a real rush. Montrose.
People are watching this conversation take place. You have just smashed through the sky like some sort of...
There was nobody around.
Oh, there wasn't? Uh-uh. Well, then that's fine.
You didn't ask. Trust
okay,
me, there's nobody around.
Is there anyone... I want to survey the area. Is there anyone around?
You're going to use a... No, you don't have to roll for that. Just look around.
Yeah, it's not a daring action. I look around. There's no one. Okay.
No one in the area. Normally, there would be.
Yeah.
Normally there would be quite a crowd here, but you've remembered that today is the day of the big unveiling. Today is the day that they're going to be unveiling this pen for everybody to see. It's going to be on display for a little while until they slip it into one of the prize pantry boxes and leave it for someone to discover.
Sorry, Gravel, if I could drop Beef just for a second.
Oh my God, you sound completely different.
Yes, I'm really Lyndon. Don't worry about it. So
this is throwing me. Okay, Beef, go ahead. Sorry. Really, really on a time crunch, but whatever it is, super quick. Let's step inside your arcade real quick, just in case. Just in cases.
Okay. So, listen, as we've established, we are not above this. We are interested.
Fantastic.
We do need money. But we've kind of got a pretty good established thing going here in Eustabin. And I am, from experience, I've learned not to shit where I eat.
That's so smart. I love that. Thank you.
If we're on a time crunch, it would probably help if you didn't interrupt.
You're not wrong. Go ahead, Beef. So, brains and brawn, I love it.
If you would like us to engage with you on this job, we're going to need some certain assurances. We need to know, because at this point, we don't know you. So we could probably gain some coin just by turning you into the authorities.
Now, let's not.
Okay, so let's Travis, when you say that, faster than you can even think, Gravel's at your throat with a knife.
I understand the point you're trying to make right now.
Is that a joke?
Oh, I see. Yes, because of the knife. But it's also kind of defeating the purpose of getting us to trust you and side with you if your response to being questioned is to immediately go for my throat.
Right. So here's what I'm trying to establish with my outburst there. And I am sorry about it. I fly off the handle a little bit. I want you to know that I'm proper bad. Okay. Real nasty, right? And I know what I'm doing. And I can get you through this. If you trust me, and you should because you saw what I pulled there. And I got lots of other ones, right? I need you to trust me and just be, just help out. A little helping hand. No one will even, you know what? If you do a proper job, no one will even know you're there, right? So you really can't lose. I really could use the help. And I want this. The problem is, I just got separated from some other real nasty types, right? And I think that they're still going to try to steal the pin. And I really, really want the pin. I really want it. So I'm willing to offer you each one sweet if you'll just help me out with a plan that's already so creamy. You wouldn't believe. What do you think?
Is that one sweet each?
Fucking hell. Yes. One sweet each. I don't know how you like working for Denton, but if he's run you a little bit ragged, like it is for me, maybe you don't see a lot of other options for getting a suite of your own. So, think on it.
I look knowingly at the other two and kind of chuckle and say, oh, we have our ways of getting our pleasures of the... I'm sorry, can I start over? We do not rely on the gifts of the Dentonic Corporation. We have our own ways of blowing off steam. I believe you have established your bona fides simply with the number of knives that you are carrying with you. I must express some concern that having competition in a score of this magnitude is harmful to our health, and so I'm afraid I must counter with an offer of two sweets each for all of us.
Not
I believe
years.
If you look at the risk
Not
that is being posed...
It doesn't leave enough for me. Sorry. Now, Griffin, if you would like, you may attempt to sway, to convince her. I don't want to use the language of mechanics, right?
Yeah.
If you want to make a press for this, you can absolutely make a press for it.
That is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to establish this is dangerous, and so we need more payment. So shall we talk about position and effect?
Right. So position and effect are the two different sort of big things you need to think about before you take what's called an action roll. And an action roll sort of encompasses almost everything that you will do, right? So you will have a certain skill that you're using in this action roll. There's a position that indicates sort of the level of danger that you are in while you're trying to do this, right? So there is a controlled, there's risky, there's desperate. And bad rolls in desperate situations are real bad. Good rolls in desperate situations are real good. You'll rarely be in a controlled situation because by definition, if you're having a roll on it, there's probably some risk of failure.
Correct.
Right, so the default is risky. As far as effect, that's how much damage you're doing. I saw a good video that said to imagine it like a treasure chest, right? If you're trying to wreck a small treasure chest, a tiny one, you're probably going to have a great effect and destroy it. If you're trying to wreck a medium-sized treasure chest, then you'd probably have like about the effect you'd expect, a regular effect. And then you could have great effect, a limited effect or no effect if it's massive and made of iron and you're not going to get anywhere with it. So that's kind of effect that you're shooting for. What does this feel like to you?
It feels risky, I think, considering that she seems like a established criminal, and I am asking for a 100% increase in our payment.
Sure.
In effect, I would say maybe standard. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that that is fair. So let's just call it risky standard.
Risky standard, and I'm rolling. Okay. So I have rolled 2d6 because I have
why two d6?
I have 2 in sway.
Okay, great.
So I rolled 2 6-sided dice, and I've gotten a 5 and a 4.
Okay, so we take the highest one, and that's a 5, and that's going to be a mixed success.
So, yes.
All right. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to offer the 3 of you 4 suites, 1 for each of you, and then 1 to invest in your business ventures. That's really the best I can do. Please, I've already outlaid a lot of suites just getting to this point, and I really need this score, and we are running out of time. Please, boys, please. 4 suites. 4 suites, and everything changes. 4 suites, and you're off.
It sounds reasonable to me. And I hold out a hand for a handshake.
Emmerich?
I think it's a wonderful idea. I'd like to know a little bit more about the plan, but I trust my comrades here and sort of you.
Beef?
Beef is in.
All right. I'll explain on the way. Now, normally we wouldn't talk about a plan, but I think for this first engagement, it probably behooves to talk through, just to give you an example, I want to talk through what Gravel was going to do. And this is what Gravel explains on the way over. Does that make sense to you all? Just so we have like a vague, I normally wouldn't want to steer in this way, but I feel like in the interest of efficiency, it makes sense to talk through what she was going to do. Does that
absolutely
make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let me real quick share a little bit about the prize pantry. So you should see now 2 sheets in there. In your handouts. One is a reference, just to give you an idea of what Prize Pantry is. And while you're looking at that, I'll talk about it. So Prize Pantry is a shop in Eustabin, which, as you know, Eustabin is a one of the layers in Steeplechase, which is a huge sort of resort amusement park with immersive layers that are stacked on top of each other that give the rich an amazing immersive experience that they couldn't get in the outside world. It's the biggest theme park on the planet by exponential factors. And Eustabin is a place that's all about nostalgic feelings. It's about making you feel like you did when you were younger, be it a real experience that you had or maybe one you always wanted to have. Prize Pantry is a shop that lets you purchase boxes of cereal that have toys inside, just the way they used to. That you don't eat the cereal, but you do keep the prize. Once you're done with the cereal, you dump the cereal into the cereal collection tube. It gets hoovered up in through the pipes of the prize pantry. It gets reloaded into a new box with a new toy. This map that I'm showing you, there are 4 areas that you know of after talking, both from your experience. It's next door to the arcade. I'm assuming, have you all been there, would you say?
To the prize pantry?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Emmerich? You been to the prize pantry?
I would assume that there's some kind of hard light constructs used in just about every phase of Steeplechase.
Okay. So maybe
so I would think that there's like an attendant or, you know, something there that he's familiar with hard light wise. So yes.
Okay. Yes. Great.
Beef's not really a big cereal guy and he's done. He knows he cares about real prizes for winning competitions.
Okay.
Like prize fights.
Well, he's not a fighter, he's an arm wrestler, but yes.
So the prize pantry, the areas that you know about from having been there, there's a show floor where the boxes of cereal are. There is a cereal cafe where if your hunger for cereal has been awakened by opening fake cereal, you can go buy some real cereal and eat up. There is also an administration area at the top, a couple floors, and then there is the entryway. The reveal is sort of in the middle of the show floor. There's you've seen it probably in the lead up, a large podium covered by some sort of velvet drape, and waiting on the big reveal. That's on the show floor. And this is what Gravel's plan that she had worked out was this. This was what they had been building towards. Slipper, one of her guys, was going to infiltrate the back office, the back where the cereal is stored, to disable the alarms that are connected to the podium. Then Matchstick, one of her other guys, was supposed to sneak in underneath the sort of like faux stage that they've set up that the podium's on top of, was going to sneak in there and using tools cut out the pin from the bottom while it was still covered. And then Trashbag, the third guy on her team, was going to make a big distraction so everybody could get out. That was the plan that they had worked out. Is that clear enough?
Question, can we switch characters and be those three?
Yeah.
I
don't
cool
want to be
names.
Trashbag, but other than that...
I'll be Trashbag.
I like Trashbag, too.
I'll take Matchstick, frankly.
Okay, well, then... When we are working towards a score, which is the language that we would use for this, we would need to do, I think the next thing we would do would be to decide on an approach. So there are six different approaches that you can take, okay? There's assault, which is just go, you know, assault. You're going to do violence.
There's a
deception.
Pepper.
Deception, which is a lure to trick or manipulate. Stealth is to trespass unseen. Occult is engaging in a supernatural power. Social is negotiating, bargaining, or persuading. Transport is carrying cargo or people through danger. Now, what these approaches, what it really
hold
dictates
on. I just,
you,
for the record, Dad stifled it, but when I said a pepper after Justin said assault, Dad laughed quietly, and I just want that on the record.
You'll get credit for that. You get credit for that after we
Dad
recorded.
Held the laugh Wait. In, but I just want it noted.
Let me try it again.
That's good. We'll fix
that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So what these approaches are actually telling you is what you don't have. Does that make sense? So yeah. For assault, what you don't have is the point of attack, where the attack is going to come. That's a detail you need. For stealth, the detail you need is the point of infiltration. For transport, the detail you need is the route and the means. So you're looking for a detail. Based on what I've described to you so far, which of these do you think applies?
What would we need if we went with deception?
If you went with deception, you need the method of deception, how you're going to fool people. Now, they did have an outfit, a like uniform Slipper was going to use to get in the back. Slipper has the uniform. She does not have the uniform.
Yeah, I think we're all probably maybe a little too recognizable and used to men anyways.
Right.
So
yes.
I think stealth...
Taking on disguises and hiding is sort of my main power.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not willing to count that strategy out of hand.
Yes, but this is the world... this is the layer in Steeplechase where you would be the most known. So you may have to get a little creative.
Because it sounds like what she described was a stealth approach.
I think that's probably the closest. Yes.
And
you do still have the point of infiltration. What you don't have is a way to shut down the alarms in the rear, which is in sort of, you can imagine that in a huge cavernous stock room. It's not part of the show, so it's like not themed. It's not all colorful and fantastic. But now you know the things that... I have told you now the things that Gravel knew. That's the intel she had. What we've sort of done is bypass the gather information stage. Okay? You have a plan. That's what she was going to do. Her role was going to be more of an overseer, sort of a coordinator. There, you're going to be linked via communications. You've got an earpiece that lets you all talk. I know everyone always loves that. Being able to be in contact. But in this small scale, I think that these earpieces will work just fine. So what do we think? Which of those approaches are feeling right?
I don't know if this is a conversation that needs to happen in game, but what the escape plan was once...
The escape plan was for, I mentioned Trashbag was going to cause a distraction on the show floor, something that distracted everybody and let the other two, and hopefully Trashbag, to escape unseen. That was a, like, literally walk out.
Literally walk out, okay.
I will say I feel, Beef feels pretty good about the idea of, like, causing a distraction. Big guy like that, pretty easy to, so, you know, trip, okay. Right? And okay. Or do something.
I will warn you before we go too far down this path. We need to take this in order because we don't want to start planning. We're not planning. The rule in Blades in the Dark is when you start planning, you're already done. Does that make sense? Mm. So we're not going to talk about a plan. That is something we'll uncover as we're doing it. Right now, all we're going to figure out is the approach.
Can I suggest deception? Okay. Lure, trick, or manipulate, and the detail is the method of our deception. We know that a heist is going to take place here, and we know the exact details of how that heist is going to take place, which seems like a tremendous advantage that we can use to actually score this stuff ourselves while potentially pinning it on someone else. I think deception is our strongest play, and then what we do.
What is the method of deception? How are you deceiving people?
We have two options. We can either try and deceive the administrative staff here at the prize pantry by telling them that this heist is going to take place and we're here to help stop it. That may be a tough sales pitch. The other method is that we deceive the other thieves who it may be easier to steal the score from rather than trying to steal it from the place itself. Mm.
What job was Gravel going to do?
Gravel was overseeing, which is going to continue to be the role that she will fill.
How
she is
so lucky. We have the advantage of knowing what they were going to do.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And they have a disadvantage.
Yeah.
In the fact that Gravel is not with them.
What you need to figure out. No. Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. You do have that over them. But what you need to figure out, all you need to figure out right now is the it seems like deception, because the method of deception is what you're, unless you want to use stealth to get into the back, that is the gap in your plan right now. That's what you need to figure out.
I think distraction, because we've got disguise, we've got, I say deception because we can distract.
Okay.
So disguise.
Here is my question. Which of you is going to be the one who is tasked with shutting down the alarm?
Emmerich. He's the technically oriented one.
Okay. Sounds good.
So wait, just before we start, because we said, are we deceiving the other crew or are we deceiving the staff of the building?
I think that you should decide that.
Yeah.
I think we
are
should
you going to let
this
them play out or are you going to let them? Because I think those are two different roles. Let me make this argument that if you're going to steal it from there, it's stealth. If you're going to steal it from them, it's deception.
I think assault,
depending on if you want to get like so rowdy.
Super rowdy.
I think it's trying to steal it from them, especially since our gang's reputation, our thing is subtlety, right?
Yeah.
So it seems to me there is way more room for blaming it on the other crew.
Yeah.
If we go with deception.
I think that's a good idea. Let them do the hard work and then we'll swipe.
What are they
going
to do? So they can't go to the authorities and be like, I was robbed while I was robbing.
Is the plan, is Emmerich going to do something with the alarm? I'm just trying to figure out the first beat that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think Emmerich will do something with the alarm. But if we're waiting for Slipper to go in first and disable it, we'll just play it by ear, right? Figure it out as we go.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like we need to do anything to infiltrate this place.
You're in.
We're in. It's a question of how do we intercept the prize before they get away with it.
Right.
We have every right to be there. We're employees, right?
Yeah.
We can be there.
We don't have to go in disguise.
No. Are you going to steal it from these guys, let them steal it, and then steal it from them? Or are you going to try to steal it before they steal it?
I'm going to try. I vote steal it from them.
Same. Dad?
Same.
Okay.
So are you going to deceive them into giving it to you? Are you going to steal it from them by force? Are you going to secretly steal it from them? Which of those sort of like, approaches are you thinking?
I'm going to...
Because can I make one other, just one other point?
Yeah.
One other thing that Gravel would probably bring up as you're talking through this. If they can steal it, and Gravel can say, oh, thank God, she doesn't need you.
Yeah.
Well, fair. I'm not trying to undercut you. I'm telling you what Gravel would be telling you is like, if we don't get it first, I'm just going to go with them. I mean, does that make sense? Because she probably had a better deal with her crew.
Okay, well, then let's do this. We're overthinking this. Let's do stealth. Let's steal it before they steal it. I think that would be more fun. I think it would give us more opportunities to like flex our different skill sets. And I think it would be a better...
If you act fast, they're going to be uncoordinated because they don't have Gravel. If you act fast, you could get it before they do. I bet.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe. Travis, you okay with that? Or are you feeling real? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we back way up and
well, some of that though, I mean, don't back up too much because I do want to explain about, you know, Gravel's allegiances.
Yeah.
I think, okay, first things first, I think we need to play it by ear a little bit because I'll tell you the piece of information we can't possibly have. How far along are they? How close are they? This other crew, right? So, like, I think we need to get in the room first. Somebody needs to get eyes on this displayed thing, and then we can play from there.
Okay.
And I think Beef is going in for that, right? Beef as the biggest and the physical force, if something goes down for that, he's ready to like, well, assault is the backup plan, you know? Sure.
Okay, so we're going to do an engagement roll, and that is going to determine sort of where we start in this. So you get one D for sheer luck, okay? A D in this case is a die.
Oh.
You get one die for sheer luck. You get, is the plan overly complex or contingent on many factors?
Nope.
No, I guess not. Is it particularly bold or daring? I mean, I guess it would be. Yeah, because you guys have never done this before, so I think it's pretty fucking bold. So 2D, can any of your friends or contacts provide aid or insight for this operation? I don't think there you would have any time to do that. So I don't think that one would apply here. And then are there any other elements you want to consider? No, I think 2D... To die is a good, that feels good to me.
Well, it looks like Travis rolled one and Dad rolled one.
Yeah,
well,
we did it.
I'd say
though.
it would be.
Here we go.
I do the roll.
Oh, you do it. I don't want to dim the lights. I'm playing with my brothers. Gross.
Wait, where's the D?
Well, that's what she said.
Damn it. Okay. No, where's the
die? It looks like a D20. It's in like the top bar on the top left.
D6. There we go. We're going to roll 2D6.
Oh.
Six.
All right. Wait, is that good or bad?
That's good. Believe it or not, you guys show up. Okay, so they got a 6, which means that they're going to bypass the first obstacle. This is how good the engagement role is. They're going to bypass the first obstacle that we had in place, which I feel like was getting into the back room. So you guys show up. You're looking around. You see that people are starting to head towards the podium for this big reveal that's about to happen. And, Dad, you see your friend. It's one of your constructs. He is a hard
light. Eustace.
Eustace. Oh, Eustace.
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 Yeah.
You see Eustace walking, carrying a big armload of cereal boxes. We have started to use hard-like constructs in this world. They started out as a something to replace sort of like animatronics that we would have in our rides, but the technology was so powerful that you helped develop, Emmerich, that... they've started to use them in more practical functions. So this is a hard light construct that's carrying boxes. And he greets you.
Well, hello, Emmerich. So glad to see you, Father. How can I help you today, Father?
Eustace, I've told you, you don't have to call me Father.
But
it makes me
feel
you
so are the
old.
Father.
I am a father.
Oh, these boxes are so heavy.
Wait, I'll walk with you, and you can set them down. Is that?
Yes, please, Father. Walk with me. Help me as I go.
Can I carry some of them?
Father, that's not necessary. Thank you. Kind Papa. Papa, come with me as I carry these to the back. It's such a joy and a pleasure to see you, Papa. Oh, sweet Papa. So, against all odds, this cat has walked with you and shepherded you back into the back storage area where, you know, the electrical panels are at. That just by sheer fate, you have bypassed and you are now in the back. What happened next?
Eustace, where do you have to take these things?
I'm setting them here. And then he sets them on a shelf. Another job well done.
Yes, good. Is that all you have to carry?
Yes, Papa. I'm done for the day.
Oh.
Goodbye. And Eustace is gone. You find yourself, are you alone? No, there's probably two or three other employees back there with you. But like all people in jobs where they're at the lower level, if they see someone that's not in a uniform, they just assume they're a manager from somewhere else. So unless you do something to upset that, I think you're back here. You're okay. What do you want to do now?
Yeah. Emmerich wears a coverall, you know, like a one-piece
jumpsuit.
Yeah, like a jumpsuit kind of thing all the time anyway.
Okay.
All the time?
Yeah.
Even the shower.
Oh, yeah. He unzips it in the shower.
Okay, that's good. And,
you know.
Let's the water let's fill the water it up. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, I think he would look around to see if he can find the...
He's going to look around to see if he can find... It's probably... you think it's a breaker, probably, or something like that? Some sort of like... It's probably near the breaker, but it's not exactly like that. Here's what we're going to do. Dad, I'm going to ask you for a survey roll. I am going to say it's risky because too much attention, you know, you're going to... It's not going to be good for you. But the effect is probably standard. I mean, it's you're just looking for what you think is the panel. So go ahead and give me let's call it a survey.
Survey says, is this risky?
Yes,
risky standard.
Risky standard.
Risky. That's what they call me.
Risky standard. All right, no bonus die. Submit.
Oh my God,
we love it.
I mean, you love to you hate to you love to see it. I guess you love.
You
to see
hate
it.
To see it. We love to see it.
Okay, that's fair. Dad rolled a six, which
hell
is
yeah, he did.
Very very good.
Dad always rolls a six. He's very talented.
Dad doesn't always roll a six.
He's very often good at games.
I roll a six when I roll a 100-sided die.
Right,
right. Perhaps. So Dad is that's a six. That is a success. You. This is gonna sound wild. But there is a box right next to the breaker, and it says alarm in letters. It says alarm panel here, and you know exactly where it is.
Do not mess with.
You can walk right over to it.
Okay.
Okay. You know where the alarm panel is, Dad. There are maybe two guys in here, and I don't think that. I mean, you had a success. I don't think that they think anything about it. But but if you start fucking around with the panel labeled alarm, they may. I don't know.
Now, Justin, I have a question. Did Gravel give us a description of the other crew?
Let me think on that. Maybe basically, like, you know, you're not looking at a artist recreation of their faces or anything. Mm-hmm. I think you know basically what they look like. And they do not seem to be either the two cats that are already there.
Okay, great.
Emmerich, action's still with you.
Okay. We are in communication, right? With the earbuds?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to reach up like I'm scratching my ear and activate the earbud and tell the other two, I am in position at the alarm. If they can do something to draw these guys away.
Okay. I'm assuming that you were sort of talking quietly to yourself.
I am in position. The eagle
has landed.
Okay.
But there are people here watching, and if I try to do anything with the alarm, I believe I may come to some misfortune.
Right, okay, so can you just sort of snuff them out?
Kill them?
Right, yeah, just sort of snuff them out. It'll be real nasty.
Oh, that's not really my bailiwick.
Good, that was a test. You shouldn't go willy-nilly snuffing out lives, you maniac. I don't even know why you brought it up. No, I'm sorry, though. I can't help. I'm your eye in the sky. Here's what I can say. There's nobody else headed your way. It's just those two in there.
I think I have an idea.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Since the dawn of time, man has dreamed of bringing life back from the dead. From Orpheus and Eurydice to Frankenstein's monster, resurrection has long been merely the stuff of myth, fiction, and fairy tale. Until now.
Actually, we still can't bring people back from the dead. That would be crazy, but the Dead Pilot Society podcast has found a way to resurrect great dead comedy pilots from Hollywood's finest writers. Every month, Dead Pilot Society brings you a reading of a comedy pilot that was sold and developed but never produced, performed by the funniest actors from film and television. How does Dead Pilot Society achieve this miracle? The answer can only be found at MaximumFun.org.
All right, Beef's in the main room. We know Emmerich's in the back. Montrose, what are you doing? Are you with Beef, just kind of like surveying?
I am wearing my finest fancy garments.
Okay.
And I walk into the room with an air of, I deserve to be here. Just trying to look my absolute fanciest. And I'm looking around.
You see, it's working. You see people around you, and they're looking at you like, he deserves to be here. Like, they're into it.
I'm, like, examining the podium, like, this looks right.
Excuse me, take a step back, sir. Yeah, hey, I'm going to need you to take a step back, sir. Thank you.
I want to wave down, like, an
attendant. That was a big guard.
Yeah, it sounded like a pretty big guard. Just from
trying to do my big guard voice. That was a big guard.
My mistake. Excellent job. That was a test. And you have just succeeded in passing it.
Please step away, sir.
My mistake. I take a step back. Excellent work. What's your name?
My name's Kevin. Thank you. Never know when to stop dreaming. Please move it along.
I like that, Kevin. I like that. And you really shouldn't even be talking to me when you're on the clock.
Correct, sir. Please step away.
Do you want to continue the conversation, Griffin?
Yeah, kinda.
Okay, great.
No way, Travis. I want Beef to do his thing.
He's talking to this guard. That's what he's doing right now. What are you doing right now? We'll come back to that, Montrose. Don't you worry.
I would like to wave down an attendant, somebody who's like handling getting boxes for people.
Perfect. Yes. How can I help you? My name's Dan.
Oh, hey, Dan. It's a pleasure.
Are you looking for the perfect match between you and a prize? Because, yes.
Dan, I'm going to stop you right there. Dan. It's me, Beef Punchley, the mountain of meat, you know, the slamming slab.
I'm a little young. Are you in your prime now, or would you say?
Hey, that's not important, Dan. We can talk about that later. But I'm looking around here. I don't see any Beefberry. Any Beefberry Crunch.
Beefberry Crunch is available in our cereal cafe.
But I don't see any of the boxes here, Dan.
You know, sir, that is a great point. You're absolutely right. You know, we tried to have a cornucopia of cereal experiences represented on our show floor, and I do not think Beef Berry Crunch, kind of a collector's item. I think retro would be so cool if we did some Beef Berry, but no, we don't have any Beef Berry on the floor.
Are you sure? Maybe they could check back in the warehouse. Hey, Dan, look back in the warehouse. I sure would appreciate it.
I'm pretty busy. But for you, Beef, I guess, sure. I could go look. All right, Travis, give me a sway roll. Let's see if you can convince Dan. And I think that this is not risky. I mean, I think that this is controlled. I mean, it.
Yeah, I don't really
lose much. The worst that's
going to
happen is Dan saying, no, I'm not going to do that.
I don't really lose on it. He's like, no.
And the effect, I think, is pretty standard, too. You're asking an employee a very reasonable request.
Yeah. Could you look in the back? Bonus dice, no? Okay, here we go. Ooh. Well.
Oh, my God.
That's a one and a one.
Did you have two in sway? Or no, you had no in sway?
No, I would have to take the lowest, and that's hard to choose on
these
two ones.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Hold on a second. I mean, I have to see what to do here.
I think it's an unmitigated failure.
It's going to be an unmitigated failure, but I have to feel like...
Does he just not feel guilty about the fact that they have
He just
not
walks away without answering anything.
I mean, here's what I will say, Trav. It's a really good time to have a bad roll.
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, the stakes of this are... I'm trying to figure out a way of... I'm trying to think of a way of penalizing you, but like, I can't think of too much that I could level against you here. Let me see what the,
Well, it could penalize his ego.
That's true. Hold on. I'm trying to look at, okay. Believe it or not, on a controlled roll, a 4/5 or a 1-3 result gives a scoundrel a chance to try again.
Okay.
So, I'm so sorry. I'm super rushed, though, and I just can't. I gotta go. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, I totally understand. I'll just go back myself and look.
Absolutely not. I can't allow that.
Oh, okay, man, that breaks my beefy heart.
If you want to try to push it, Trav, you absolutely can ask again. I will let you do it again. It will be risky this time.
Come on, man. Can't you please go back there for me, brother?
Let me think about it.
It's risky now, right?
Now it's risky.
One
you
and a
sweet,
four. Jesus
sweet
Christ.
Boy.
That's a one.
Yeah, I'll go look for... But here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to take a lot of time looking, all right? But I will take a quick look because you say that you're somebody, and I don't want to get in trouble with the higher ups.
Well, I mean, so, everybody's okay. Somebody. I mean,
okay, I'll be right back. And Dan starts walking off to the rear. Emmerich, that's when you see the door fly open. Hey guys, can you guys help? I have like. So many people out there with everything going on. Can you guys please help me out? I'm looking for Beef Berry Crunch. Do we have any empty boxes back here? And the three of them start looking for a Beef Berry. Is it Beef Berry or Beef Berry Crunch?
It's Beef Berry Crunch.
Okay.
It started off as Beef Berry, and everyone was really confused by that. But then we figured out if we just put Crunch on the end, people understood a lot better what it was.
Fantastic. Okay. Emmerich, they're distracted. They're looking for Beef Berry.
I think that Emmerich, in the guise of also looking for Beef Berry to see if there's any, in the alarm box, opens the alarm box.
So just to be quick, I just want to double check real quick. Are you loudly announcing as you open the alarm box? Let me see if there's any in here.
Body language.
Oh, okay,
just body
good.
Language.
They're
looking
distracted.
Around,
don't worry about them. You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
All right.
You got a window.
Opens the alarm box.
Okay, pal. It opens.
And it's fucking wires, man. It's wires for days.
If you want to have some sort of impact here, you're going to need to roll for it. I'm assuming. Right. Well, no, I won't assume. What are you doing?
Well, tinker.
You're going to tinker. I'm gonna
use my tinker skills. I have two dots in tinker.
But to what end?
To disable the alarm.
Okay. So you want to disable the alarm.
Well, now, hold on. I want to understand something. Okay. If the goal is to deceive the other team.
No, that's not the goal anymore. Remember, we're trying to steal this thing before.
We're going
to
steal it before they steal it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, Emmerich, you're going to disable the alarm.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's call that a risky for sure. And business. Standard is like, I mean, that's what you'd be getting into something like this for, right? So I think it is risky standard.
Okay. I see.
Okay.
5 and a 1.
Oh, lucky. So we'll take that 5. It's a mixed success. You hearken back to some of your old, you know, you've wired systems not dissimilar from this before. But at one point while rewiring things, you get shocked. And the Dan and the two warehouse workers are look over your way and start walking towards you. Let's cut over to Montrose. You are talking with a guard. That you were interested in for some reason,
yeah.
And he's asked you to step away. What are you going to do, Montrose?
I've stepped away. I'm continuing to try and have a conversation with him, but I want him to know that I respect his authority.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I appreciate someone who is as skilled and competent at their job as you seem to be. My name's Dominic Goodparty,
really?
I am. Yes, I'm in the event planning business. It's not my real name, but legally it is. I changed it to Dominic Goodparty.
I could swear that I've seen you around. I mean, I would swear I've seen you around.
Don't give away my. I want to say something up front. I have established that Montrose wears a mask everywhere he goes, a hard light mask. I don't think I would roll in here with my regular old Montrose face on.
Okay.
Fair.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I think what you're going to have to accept is that if you want to wear the mask, it will hide your identity. But it's going to be really, really hard to get people to trust you. Like, it's weird that you're doing this.
Okay, then so how about this? I'm not wearing the mask. I don't want to be recognized. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not, I have a face under there. It's just a very plain face.
Okay.
Hey, it's a beautiful face.
Thank you. I'll accept it. Yes, Dominic Goodparty, Goodparty Event Planning. And I have to say, this is quite a shindig that your higher-ups have thrown together here. Security is...
Sir, I really... Griffin, if you want this man to talk to you, you got to convince him, because he has told you to step away.
Got you. Anyway, I don't want to tell you... I don't want to get you in trouble, but it seems like you do have all the...
You need to roll your die to keep this man from taking some action against you. He has asked you many times as thought.
I produce a set of climbing gear that I have brought with me.
Okay, he's intrigued enough to see. He's intrigued enough to see where you're going with this.
I did just find this in the alleyway, and so.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding me!
Yeah, and listen, I've seen this happen a lot of times. You look left, right, you look forward, you look backward, but you forget to look up. And
Griffin,
I think
go ahead and mark one on your load for me.
Yes, it's actually two.
It's actually two
for the climbing gear.
What load did you go? Now, I did not ask you guys.
Yeah,
I don't think that I probably need to. I think we'll just call it normal, unless you all have some sort of opposition to that. To having a normal load. The way Blades in the Dark works is you don't have to specify the loadout that you're taking. What you do have to specify is like how kitted out you are. So 1 to 3 is a light load, which makes you less conspicuous and faster. 4 to 5 is like normal. 6 is heavy. 7 to 9 is encumbered. Now, 4 to 5 4 to 5 load, you look normal. So you look like a scoundrel ready for trouble.
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm light. I think you're definitely going light.
Okay,
light.
So that's you use 2.
I basically have 3 load points that I can spend on gear in the moment when I need it.
Okay,
and we also get 1 free load because of our crew.
Great point. Okay, so are you guys going in? Emmerich and Beef, are you guys going in light or normal?
Beef is more of a normal guy.
Okay, normal.
Yeah, I think normal.
Okay. That probably made you, we won't deal with it right now, but normal for the future, it will be tough with normal if you want to do a lot of like convincing people you are
not a criminal
because yeah. Someone who's normal like has some tools. By the way, will you look at your character sheet there, Emmerich, and see if your tools that you use.
Tinkering tools is checked.
Is checked. Okay. So you got that accounted for in your load.
So you found, oh shit, damn it. I knew this would happen. I tried to tell them. I tried.
Up crime. It is the scourge of the security personnel. And I am
so you just found these lying in the alley.
Yeah, I guess they were trying to keep a light load. I'm not sure. It's hard to get in the mind. It's hard to get in the mind of these criminals, isn't it?
So, Griff, would you say that right now what you are doing is attempting to sway or consort? What would you say? Would you say you're trying to...
This is a lie.
This is a lie.
I want to get under that stage because I know that is ultimately where they are going to want to go, the other team. And so I am trying to divert as many eyes and security personnel away from here. And the roof is about as far as I can think to.
So it's sway, baby.
Try and send them.
All right. Well, let's see. So what are you trying to get him to do?
Go check out the roof.
Okay. Let's call that a sway. I think this is definitely risky because it's a big lie. But I think the effect is probably still standard. I mean, it's going to be tough because I don't think he would leave his position. I think he would radio it in. Okay. But I tell you what, let's see how the roll goes before I start micromanaging.
Okay. Do I get a bonus dice because I've used a tool? We haven't really talked much about how bonus dice factor into things.
Okay. Well, let's see here. You can normally get 2 bonus dice for your action roll. Some special abilities might give you additional bonus dice. For 1 bonus die, you can get assistance from a teammate. They take 1 stress, say how they help you, or give you +1 D. You can also push yourself to give yourself another die. What were you thinking that you would get a bonus die for?
Producing this climbing gear, having a prop, doing some light prop work with my friend here.
I'm trying to figure out if that would be applicable here.
It doesn't have to.
I don't know if that's a thing.
Okay, then I won't use it. Bonus dice. Don't need it. That's a 6 and a 4. We'll take the 6.
Hot?
Whoa!
You guys are... crushing it. That's
not me.
Well, a couple of us are.
That's a complete success. Okay.
All right. Give me the gear.
I hand it over. Do I take it off my? I guess I brought it already, so I've expended it, that load. Yeah. Okay.
Give me the gear. I'll go check it out.
You know what? I'm going to do a fortune roll to see if he does go check it out or if he sends someone to check it out because I don't know what he would do.
Fair.
So I want to do 2. So fortune roll is just sort of like something where the players aren't in control of it, but I don't necessarily want to make the decision because it dictates too much. So we're just going to see what the fates say.
Baby.
So that's a 6. I'll be dang, you guys are killing it.
Yeah, all right. I'll go check it out. Hey, can you do me a favor? You seem like another professional. Can you hang out around here and just kind of keep people's hands away from the pin? Don't let anybody peek under it or there's been some vloggers around that want to get an early peek.
It's just right here behind me in the, obviously, I mean, he doesn't need to say that. It's pretty clear.
Is it in a box or is it just the pin itself is underneath
what you
the cloth?
See is a, like, 4-inch by 4-inch square that you can tell is a cube, right? It's a 4-inch by 4-inch cube that is about 6 feet elevated off of the ground on a you can't really tell, probably a pedestal or something, but there's a large purple drape draped over it. So you can't, that is what you see.
Okay. Yeah, that is not a problem.
All right, he schleps off to parts unknown. He takes your climbing gear and he heads out. Beef, what are you up to, my man? Right now, here's where we're at. Emmerich has disabled the alarms. And Griffin, or sorry, Montrose, have lured away the guard that is standing nearest to the stage.
Tell me about the method, the dumping of the fake flakes into a thing, and then the tubes carry them away. Are the tubes visible? Can I see them?
After you check out, there is a 4 foot by 4 foot pink square that's labeled prize zone. You stand there and there's lights that are on there and there's like they're booming music. It's like a big moment when you open it up to see what you get. Then after you tear it open, there is a receptacle, not unlike the things that you put your 3D glasses back into.
Sure.
You know, yeah. That kind of idea. And you just up in the box and dump it right into this receptacle. And then there's and you see it sort of a Willy Wonka style vacuum tube, just cereal just blowing up, blowing through this fat tube. And you dump your box next to it, and it is the boxes, I think, probably just go into like a recycling thing. There's also a plastic, like jewel case amaray around each box that keeps people from opening them in the aisles, and those are stored behind the counter. They just unlock those with a magnet and toss them behind the counter, and that is the system.
Got it.
I think the cereal is probably blowing into the back and being collected in like big bins.
So wasteful.
Well, then they reuse it.
Oh, the cereal, yeah. It's all reused.
Okay, I'm going to position myself close to that, close to like the receptacle and stuff. And then I'm just going to kind of keep an eye out for the crew members.
Okay. All right. With the theory being what? What's your rationale?
That prize area seems pretty rigged up for good distraction fodder.
Okay. All right. Things are going so smoothly for you guys. The thing that needs to happen now, and this is what you hear from Gravel.
All right. It's all going real smooth. We've had great luck here. What all I need is someone to go ahead and steal the fucking pin, if anyone would be so kind. Thanks.
Well, do I see any
of
the...
You see, from your perspective, here's what you see. You don't see Emmerich. He's in the back. You see, you can see Montrose standing near the stage, and you don't know why, but fucking Montrose is just standing there by himself right near the stage, unaccompanied. That is what you see from your perspective. You probably actually do know why, because you could hear via the earpiece. Are you guys comfortable with those being always open? Does that make the most sense? Just so we don't keep catching people up?
Yeah.
Okay.
And do I see any of the other rival crew?
You wouldn't, probably. I mean, I don't think that you would. You could do, you know what, Trav? Why don't you go ahead and let's call this, I think this would be hunt or survey? I mean, are you looking for, you're probably, I mean, what do you think? Hunt or survey?
Yeah, I think in this case it's survey, because specifically the sense trouble before it happens and gather information about opportunities or exploits as described in survey is what I'm looking for, rather than trying to find someone to hurt them or find someone to like attack them. So I think survey is the way to go. And I'm going to push myself, because the timing of like creating the distraction and everything here feels important.
So by pushing yourself, you're going to take two stress, right? Yeah. You're going to take 2 stress to give yourself an extra die. And we can deal with what stress is. But a good way to think about stress, and this is the way that John Harper explains it in the Blades of the Dark book, is the ability to take on stress is what separates you all from other people. That ability to push yourself beyond the limits of what normal people could do, that is what separates your scoundrels from the other denizens of Steeplechase. So you're going to push yourself for a bonus die.
Yes. Which will put me at 1 die, because currently I have 0 in survey. What input value? Is it risky?
Is it risky? No? I mean...
Okay.
Well, yeah, it is risky because, you know, it is risky because if you miss it, it's bad.
Yeah.
If you don't see them, then it would be negative. So, yes, I would say risky standard.
Got it.
Which, by the way, I know we're saying that a lot. That's kind of the default. And they even say in the books, like, you could probably be fine just, like, using risky standard as a so, that's a 3.
Damn.
So, that is a, let's see.
You know what? This is a very important moment, and I'm going to, I can push myself or take a devil's bargain.
Yes. Yes.
I can't do both?
Could you do both?
I mean, at this point, listen, it's early on.
Hold on. A devil's bargain can give you a bonus die, but it's only before the roll.
I thought devil's bargain was you... accomplish the thing, but you...
A GM or any other player can offer you a bonus die if you accept a devil's bargain. Common ones include collateral damage, sacrifice coin, betray a friend, offend or anger a faction, add heat to the crew, suffer harm. The devil's bargain occurs regardless of the outcome of a roll. It's always a free choice. If you don't like one, then you don't have to take it. But if you make the deal, you pay the price and you get the bonus die.
Okay. Well,
so we can do it, but this is a new rule. So if you want to go back and take the devil's bargain, we can.
No, I think I don't know. I don't know where they are, but Montrose, are you ready to make the grab? Why am I speaking in the beef? It should be the Linden voice. Montrose, I don't see the other crew, but are you ready to make the grab and I'll make the distraction? Or how do you want to make the grab and then I make the distraction?
Well, okay, all, because of the you did not manage to spot the guy. But I'm going to put a clock. Okay, so clocks are a way of monitoring time or progress.
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah. Yeah. That's been my experience.
In my creation, clocks are... No.
In my fantasy worlds.
Okay, so what I've done is I made a clock called Rival Thieves, and you know this is happening, and I'm going to... This clock represents... represents their progress in stealing the thing. You don't have any insight into what they're doing, but this, I am telling you that you are now one, I've ticked away one of the steps because of Beef's inability to spot this guy.
He beefed it.
He beefed it. So when this clock runs out, they will steal the thing and get away with it. So the race is on.
Okay, Montrose, do you want me to trigger the distraction now, or?
I think, first of all, we need to, in the future, talk about how we are going to converse over these things, because, regretfully, my autonomous sensory meridian response has been absolutely zooming. No, that's all well and good, but
nope, stop it. People have earbuds in. You can't do this.
I got one more piece of the puzzle that I think is really gonna bring this whole thing together. What are the vloggers like in this room? How many vloggers are we talking about?
they're pretty easy to spot, right? Because they have the cameras sort of
they've got GoPros.
No, they don't. It's like an attachment on their back. It's like a back rig, and then coming up over them, there's sort of like imagine a selfie stick that was attached to your back and just sort of like arcing out in front of you. So like, and then it had like a camera at there, and you see them like basically yammering on to themselves, but you can tell they're streaming, right? Because not everybody can get to Steeplechase, but there are still people who are obsessed with Steeplechase. They are so excited to see this pin. Like, they cannot wait to see this design. This is a big moment for them.
Okay.
And I would say there's probably, let's see. Yeah, four.
I want to work the room with those five specifically and prepare them for an exciting press-only opportunity to get just some you know, merch photos, just so that, because once we unveil it, the hubbub is going to be, there's going to be a rush, and, you know, you're going to get a bunch of noggins in the way of these.
Okay, they probably
shots.
Have like a, they probably have like a, an assigned area that they're in, right?
Oh, that's so fine. Like that's a, fine. A this, that's, yeah, that's not.
So you issue. Go they over can, and talk to them. What's your spiel?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming. We're really excited to have you here. Just to let you know, the higher-ups have permitted you all to get some exclusive product shots of the pin before we unveil it to the public. Just a limited time to secure
those.
You
hear that, gang? This guy here. What's your name?
My name is Dominic Goodparty, and I'm a PR rep. Here for
Gosh, do you work for Dentonic? Are you like a separate entity?
Well, I'm under contract from Dentonic.
Because I've never met you before, I don't think, and I go to these events all the time.
Yeah, we're new.
They handle these internally, right, gang? And they're like talking to you, but they're also kind of talking to the camera. They're like filming it.
They do have their own internal PR teams for, you know, print and traditional press. So I hope you're not offended that they've sort of siloed you all off and handed you off to me to sort of not really give you all the... Listen, they don't want me to give you this scoop. But I think the work you all are doing is important and you're reaching out to
people. Oh my gosh, thank you. That's
so nice. This is an
exclusive
photo opportunity. We have to be a little bit discreet, but... If you just follow me.
Is this just for us? There's like four other vloggers, but they're not really paying attention?
I want everyone.
No, this is for everybody. So everybody's like has turned towards you.
So if everyone can follow me, we'll do a quick
opportunity. Oh my gosh. But we're going to miss the shot.
You're going to get the I'm giving you the shot now.
I know, but if we miss the big reveal, that's the moment everybody's waiting on.
I'm giving you all an exclusive reveal. You know what? Never mind. If you all want to take the photos with the hoi polloi in the way and not get the footage that your viewers and your audience craves, that's fine. Just forget I said anything.
Okay. I'm going to say, hey, man, risky standard sway. Let's go.
How do you get advantage in this game? Is there advantage in this game? Because that was a good line.
It was a good line. Yeah, that's a good line. It's not mechanical.
One and a six.
A one and a six. All right. Okay. We're so thrilled. Thank you for thinking of us. Where should we all go? And they're all kind of like nodding to each other. Like, yeah. Where do we go?
Head up right next to the podium, and I'll just kind of uncover it on one side, and you all can get the footage that you need.
So we should walk onto the stage?
Yeah, it's fine. I've told security what's going on. They're going to turn a blind eye to us this once.
Okay, right now?
Right now. Let's move.
Okay. The six vloggers with their cameras and everything, and they're chattering to each other. And you see them walk up onto the stage, and then you hear from the back, "Hey, get down! Hey, we've got people trying to make a run at it. Hey, everyone, we've got several vloggers on stage. They're trying to pull the curtain off." And you see three or four security guards start to make their way towards the stage. What do you do?
I know we have a lot of distraction irons in the fire, and this would be the time for us to execute them, I do believe.
Okay, great. Beef, is going to lean up against that big tube, the pneumatic tube. Like, he's just resting, but he's going to push against it. And he's trying to knock it loose.
Okay. So he,
I'm going to wreck it.
He's trying to, you're going to wreck the tube.
I'm going to wreck the tube, baby.
Wreck the tube. I think this is probably, you know what, for a tube, I'm going to say it's definitely risky. Standard. I mean, I don't want to say it's desperate because this isn't life and death, but people are going to be like, what is beloved arm wrestler, right? Or boxer? Where do we settle?
Arm wrestler.
Beloved arm wrestler, Beef.
If Beef can't have great effect against a tube, what is he here? What's That's he fair. Doing here?
And this is a moment, too, where, like, this is, the distraction is, like, his moment. I'm going to push myself again. Because,
Can't you elect to push yourself after the roll?
No, I don't get the sense. I mean, looking at the action roll section, it does sort of, like, look like you need to add the die beforehand. Because otherwise, okay. It's sort of like...
What is my effect? I would like to have great effect. I think you would all like to have great effect on a team.
I mean, it's just so... I mean, you're a human man. You're just a human being. And this is like...
Oh, well, no, hold on. I took the trait that lets me do a feat of superhuman strength.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to say that this is where that comes in.
Just how does that work? Is that like a one and done kind of deal? Or what?
I think you have to take stress in order to activate that, right?
Is that the way that
works?
So
it says you can push yourself... to do one of the following, perform a feat of physical strength that verges on the superhuman, or engage a small gang on equal footing in close combat. Okay. So I'm pushing myself, right?
Yeah, you're pushing yourself. Take two stress.
I did. Okay.
Okay.
A 5 and a 5.
Whoa.
All right. How did you reflect the... Okay, so this is the feat of superhuman strength. We're saying it's a 5 and a 5. You... Holy shit, Beef. You didn't know that you still had it in you? Like, when you're doing this, you're feeling the way that you used to feel when you're arm wrestling. You could feel the stress of it pulled against you, and you could feel the stakes and the stress. And you didn't know that you could still do this. But in this moment, you are, like, alive. And you feel your muscles, like, start to strain your shirt. And you yank this tube out, and it is just sucking. Right,
I'm leaning against it.
You find yourself. Well, here's what's happened right now. You find it. There's this huge tube of suction, and things are starting to get sucked up into this tube.
Oh, I thought it was blowing up.
What? It's sucking. It's not blowing. It's sucking. You've You've now unhinged a giant vacuum tube that is sucking people. There are people who are starting to feel themselves pulled towards it, such as the power of the serial tube. And I'll tell you, they're fucking distracted.
Yeah.
People are really into this.
And Beef is definitely doing something. In case anyone's like, whoa, sir, what? Sorry.
What did you do? Sir?
The tube came loose and I was trying to catch it.
The tube came loose?
Yeah. Brace those people or someone's going to get hurt.
Okay, they're fucking distracted. What do you do now?
I am like barking orders, right? In my biggest, boldest, biggest Beef voice of like, guards, hurry, grab those people. They're going to get hurt. Hold down the, we have to protect these people while I try to get this back in place. You, help those people.
You're doing great effect. Like, this is a mess for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they're listening to you. I think this is a very stressful situation they find themselves in. Anybody want to steal the pin?
Or yeah, so...
Where are we at vis-a-vis that?
In this chaos that is now happening with all the vloggers on stage trying to get pics of this thing, and the security personnel rushing them, I am going to run towards them also and be like, what are you doing? Get down from... You can't be up there! And just run towards them. Just basically trying to get into the crowd so that I can stealthily grab the box.
Okay, so it's under the sheet still. The box is under the sheet. What?
Oh, okay. Okay. How about this? I run up. And I'm running up towards them like, stop, what are you doing? And I'm going to knock the podium just over as I go towards them to stop them.
It's chaos, baby.
Okay, you knock the so you're running to, so you are now in the role of, you're pretending to like stop the vloggers.
Yes.
From.
And
okay.
I also have on me fine clothes and jewelry. And if this is something that I had time to prepare, I would like to say that that jewelry is a bunch of pins that I am going to scatter to the ground like so many beautiful caltrops.
Okay, so you're throwing a bunch of pins on the ground. You have no idea what this pin looks like, so you're definitely not trying to pretend it's the pin, right? What's the goal with like throwing the pins on the ground?
Just more. I'm the Joker, baby.
Okay, so you run. The vloggers are like getting ready to get their shot, right? But now,
but they don't know what it looks like either, right?
I'm not concerned about whether or not the vloggers get the shot. I just wanted bodies up there so that when I grab the thing, it's not instantly obvious that I have just run on stage and grabbed a pin.
Okay. So they are, is this, so they're looking at you. I'm not going to make you roll for this because all you did was throw some pins on the ground. They're kind of looking at you like, what, are, is this the pin? Is this swag? What do we do? And they're still filming over there, right? Like they're not really paying attention. They're kind of confused by you throwing pins at them, but they are still definitely filming the vacuum disaster.
Okay. I think that there is, and I've knocked the podium over. Did I see the thing topple out when I knocked it over?
Did you knock the podium over? Yes, you did knock the podium over. Well, you know what? I'm going to need you to roll for that.
Oh, really? How heavy is this podium?
Well, I need to know how it's going to go.
Okay, can I say...
I don't know if it's attached or not. I need you to roll to tell me if it's attached. I don't know.
Can I argue a skill? So one of the finesse things is employ subtle misdirection or sleight of hand. I'm trying to misdirect everyone with these mini pins.
Okay, here's what I'm saying. Everyone is looking at the fucking crazy shit with the vacuum. You are good on misdirection.
Okay.
But you know what? It's not going to get like you reach a point of infeasibility, right? Like there's still people who are thinking about it, but like they're as distracted as they're going to be by this incredible calamity that Beef has created.
Okay.
Emmerich, when you heard this calamity start, what did you do? Because I think that that also gave you a window where the three that were starting to look at you, they are now like, probably making their way outside because all of a sudden weird shit like papers and paper clips and gum wrappers and magazines and all kinds of random trash is blowing through the tube right now. So I think those guys are going to the warehouse workers. Dan gave up, I think, on the beef berry crunch, and the warehouse workers are going to see like what the hell is going on. They probably are looking for a way to shut it down if I had to guess. So you have an opening here. What do you want to do?
I'm going to summon Eustace.
That would probably be a tune.
Well, he has a skill.
A tune. Yeah, I'm going to use a tune.
So in the game of Blades in the Dark, there are ghosts. We don't have ghosts. We have hard light projections that are standing in for ghosts. So Dad is playing as a whisper, which is normally someone who's very adept with like supernatural forces. In our game, we're using that metaphor as somebody who's like very adept with hard light. So you know Eustace is here somewhere. And so you can try to attune him, which is sort of like an all-purpose supernatural type role, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Should I roll before I tell you what I want to communicate to him?
Yes. Tell me what you want to do first.
I want to communicate with... Oh, that kind of spoils it. I'm going to communicate with Eustace to ask him to do dear old Papa Dad a favor.
Okay. That seems like a good boundary. Let's roll an attune on that and see.
Okay. Risky?
Yeah, because if you're staying in the back, there's a risk that they're going to spot you.
Standard.
Okay. Five. Right. It's not instantaneous. In fact, there's enough time that one of the guys walks over and starts walking towards you. But you do see Eustace in front of you, and the other guard is not within earshot yet. Yes, Papa? How can I help? Oh, Papa!
Eustace,
everyone,
my boy.
Everyone, it's my papa.
Hello. It's so nice to meet Eustace's co-workers. Eustace, could you do Papa Dad a favor?
Anything for you.
Yes, I believe they need you to carry one of your cartons of boxes.
Oh, I'm very good at that, Papa.
Yeah, I would like you to carry a carton of boxes out to the display where the podium is. Let me just take one box out so that there's just this one hole. Would you mind running this out there to the podium?
Anything for you, Papa.
Like a good...
Anything.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, good.
And then he takes a stack of boxes. Any certain boxes?
No, just as long as there's one cereal box out. What is the cereal box that the prize is?
I don't think the pen is in a cereal box.
The pen is just in the on the podium in the box. It will be placed in a cereal box at some point, and then it's like a sweepstakes type deal.
Just carry these out to the podium towards the rather plain looking gentleman.
Sure, Papa. And then
Eustace
goes outside carrying a big sack of boxes.
Okay, I have an idea now.
Okay, now we are panned over to Montrose. You see a hard light construct. I don't think you would probably think anything of it, but coming out of the back room. And then you have some vloggers that are still filming the vacuum debacle.
Okay, I would like to... the vloggers are still near the podium, right?
Right.
Maybe I want to bump one of them into the podium just to I want to run towards them and make it look like I'm trying to control this situation.
Okay, but you're going to...
I feel like if I just lift up this curtain, reach in, grab the thing, like it's hard to do that discreetly.
Okay.
But if I can get it on the ground, then maybe it'll be a little bit easier.
Okay, seems good. Let's call this then, probably finesse.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you're trying to make it look like something else is happening. Finesse it.
Okay. Risky? It feels a little desperate.
I think it's desperate.
It's desperate. Yeah, it's desperate, which has big implications if it does not go your way.
Effect? Standard?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to push myself to take a bonus die because this feels like a big one. Okay. That's a 4-4-2.
4-4-2. So we're going to take the 4. It's a mixed success. You, are doing some like fancy maneuvers. You're trying to like, shoo them away while at the same time you're knocking the podium over and you, have an action where you sort of like are trying to throw one of them. But you lose your balance, and you both fall into the podium, and it topples over.
Do I see the pin come out?
No.
What? I mean,
it's still covered in a huge purple drape. So what you've done is you've knocked over the whole thing, but it's still completely covered.
Okay. Oh, my mistake. I'm so sorry. I'm going to stand up, and while I stand up, just kind of try to subtly grab the...
You want to stand up and grab the
cloth?
The cloth?
Do you have a knife?
No, I mean, I could have a knife.
You have a huge vacuum behind you.
Oh, yeah. Do we... how far am I from the vacuum?
I mean, I'm imagining like 20 feet. I mean, you're at the... But like... It could be closer if you got a good idea.
We know where this vacuum ends up, right?
Yeah, it blows into the back.
Okay. I want to try to, in one swift movement, stand up and try to uncover the pin and then kick it like a soccer ball toward the vacuum.
Okay.
Is that a lot?
It's a lot. I'll let you do it, but it's a lot.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to call this wreck.
Wreck?
I don't know what else it would be. I mean, what are you doing? You're not. The subtlety is over, right? You got knocked out. You knocked yourself over with this other person. There is a podium covered in a gigantic purple cloth lying on the ground. If you want to try to chuck the cloth and the podium into the vacuum,
Podium. I'm not going to throw a podium.
Okay, so you're trying to...
You know what? I tell you what. I'm going to first things first. Let's take this in order. I want to... I'll try to... as I right myself and stand up, I'll grab the cloth and try and move it off the box.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it slips right off. You're holding the cloth, and then you pull it away so you can reveal the prize inside. When you reveal it, though... You see something you missed before, a hole where the podium used to be. And you look down into the hole, and you are looking into the face of Matchstick. And he holds up the pin in front of his face and says,
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.